Welcome to Ice Time, the Buffalo News' hockey podcast. I'm Lance Lysowski, joined, of course, by Mike Harrington. Another week of Sabres hockey, Mike, and as unpredictable and as chaotic and as inconsistent as they've ever been. We're going to get into that, of course. They had the three-game win streak. It ended on Monday with a 7-5 loss to the Montreal Canadiens. More details to come. We'll have plenty to say about that, but Mike, the big question, the big storyline coming out of that one, of course, is the injury to Tage Thompson. Mattias Samuelsson also goes down with a lower body injury, but Tage Thompson, yeah, his importance to this team cannot be understated.
And he just vaporized in the second period. No one saw anything, and all of a sudden he wasn't on the ice and wasn't on the bench. And, you know, at the time we're talking here, we're still waiting for any word on what the situation is. That may not come until practice on Wednesday, but ultimately, if Tage Thompson is out for any length of time, that's a huge problem for the Buffalo Sabres. They're not deep up front, and Dylan Cousins is currently not equipped to be a number one center in the NHL the way he's playing. And Tage Thompson has been playing like a superstar and is a couple weeks away from probably being named and sneaking onto the U.S. team for the Four Nations tournament. And Bill Guerin was in the building Monday to watch the game and unfortunately didn't see much of Tage Thompson. But now everything's up in the air with this club because he's playing like a 50-goal scorer and a superstar. If he's not in the lineup, it changes everything. It changes the offense, the lines, the power play, everything.
Yeah, I mean, they moved Dylan Cousins up to that top line. He scores a goal. But, you know, they don't want to break up that McLeod line. He's still with Zucker and Greenway. We saw Peyton Krebs with Jack Quinn and Zach Benson. We saw Sam Lafferty centering that line. It's going to be very different. And, you know, Lindy Ruff, he put the power play, you know, the top unit in a bit of a blunder as well. Once Tage went down, Jack Quinn got the first try on the top unit. That didn't go so well. Bad turnover. Alex Tuck goes up there. Now, I'm assuming we'll have more of a substantive update at practice on Wednesday, but of course he has been by far their best player up front. Rasmus Dahlin's got to start playing like a superstar and stop taking penalties. You're going to need Dylan Cousins to start scoring. A lot is going to have to go into this. And Peyton Krebs, hey, Mike, he scores a goal, but then he commits another turnover. He's got to clean up his game. Lindy Ruff has really loved Peyton Krebs, and you can tell that he wants to give him more of an opportunity, but there's just been too many mistakes defensively with turnovers that the consistency just hasn't been there. If he's going to have to be the second line center, it's got to be a lot better. Now, I think second topic, Mike, we got to get into this game and what a head scratcher it's been. I mean, you were at Madison Square Garden on Thursday. You see them beat the Rangers the way that they did. Yeah. You know, they squeaked out that game against Calgary. I like the way that Lindy Ruff put it, that he told his group that they need to be more comfortable being uncomfortable. This team has not been able to find that B game. They've not been able to, you know, gut it out when they're not playing their best and get those 2 points. They did it against Calgary, but what a mess on Monday against Montreal. I mean, they give up the first goal, they go ahead and tie it, but it just kept getting worse and worse, even though they did manage to come back with Tage and Mattias Samuelsson out.
Well, here's what I remember, what I wrote in my column, point blank, the Canadians stink. We all know it. They're terrible. They're going to be terrible. Caden Primo was awful in goal, and the worst thing that happened to the Sabres was they pulled him early in the third period after you gave up 5 goals on 14 shots. But, you know, maybe, Lance, we should have just understood this was going to happen because the Sabres and Montreal are just a screwy matchup. The Sabres have what was the numbers now? I looked it up. I think I know what it is now. They've lost 6 in a row at home to Montreal, okay? But they're 4-1 in the last 5 on the road in the Bell Center, which makes no sense either way. And this game especially was one of those games where, okay, they've got it, they don't have it, they've got it, they don't have it, and then it just became ridiculous and you had to watch the end. But ultimately, the one thing that struck me that gets a little lost here, 2 power play chances to go up by 2 goals, didn't score on either one, and couldn't get that 2-goal lead ever. And finally, you know, they broke Dahlin's terrible penalty. The goaltending didn't hold up, whether it was Luukkonen or Levi. And you give up 7 goals to the Montreal Canadiens. Just tough to watch.
You mentioned those power plays. If Tage misses any time, you almost have to bring up Yuri Kulik or someone who can help your power play. It's a massive hole. But, no, the penalties are one of many issues that just continue to rear their ugly head for this group. And it can't be your captain, Mike. It can't be your captain. It can't be the guy that has to be on the ice, that you're on. He's on the ice 26, 27 minutes a game.
What Dolly was it? Was that big fish elbow? Like, what was he doing there?
He was trying for the reverse hit, allegedly.
What are you doing?
You can't elbow a guy, especially in that situation. So And he's taken some bad penalties. He took less minor, 2 years ago. Remember, he was one of those penalized players in the NHL. He cleaned it up a bit last year.
Yeah.
But man, like, he's running that emotional roller coaster this season where, Lindy Ruff said it, like, he wants his players to be emotionally engaged. That's how he wants his group to play. But there's a fine line between that. Clifton's cross checking, at the end of the second period where Suzuki didn't score on the power play, but that gave Montreal momentum where they scored those two goals late in the period. They've got to clean that up. But like, it really is something to hear, you hear players. They're trying to make sense of all this, right? They're still processing what happened on the ice, but for them to suggest that they played down, that they didn't give their best effort in this game, maybe sort of overlooked the Canadians weren't feeling too good about themselves. I mean, how many times does this have to happen for this group to learn that lesson?
Well, that's the thing.
You have to show up.
Right. Now he's the captain and he's talking about, oh, this game humbled us. And Cousins is like, maybe we took them lightly. You've only won three in a row.
They weren't on a 9-game
winning streak here. And to me, this is one of the problems. We're now looking at, 22 months since they've won four in a row? These top teams in these divisions win 5, 6, 7 in a row like it's nothing. I think I looked it up the other day. The Avalanche in their Stanley Cup season 2 years ago had 9 winning streaks of 5 games or more if you count the playoffs. So the Sabres just can't get past 3 in a row. And the whole we're looking ahead, we're not playing the game seriously. I want to know what happens to the team we see in New York. The team we saw in New York, as bad as the Rangers were that night, maybe the Rangers took the Sabres lightly, but the team we saw in New York wins a lot of games and goes to the playoffs. The team we saw against Montreal is an 82-point team that is in another lottery. Which one are we going to see night after night? The team against Calgary was kind of a little bit of both. And that is the struggle that Lindy Ruff has to figure out with this group, because they just cannot put it together night after night after night. And already we're seeing an alarming pattern here with this particular team, Lance. They've played pretty well against the top teams in the league. They've already got a win over Florida and a win over Dallas and a win over the New York Rangers. Then you think they've lost to Columbus. They've lost to Pittsburgh. They've lost to Montreal, and they've lost to the Islanders.
Detroit. Yeah, and Detroit was a pretty bad one, too.
And they've lost to Detroit. Five teams right now who are going absolutely nowhere, and the Sabres have lost 5 times to those teams. That, to me, is a trend that is starting to get very alarming. And when you see what's coming up here, St. Louis, Philly, San Jose, Anaheim, there's a lot of points to be had, but so far they've frittered away a lot of points against bad teams already.
They didn't even get 20 shots on goal against Calgary. Well, it's one thing to do that against Calgary, especially with the way that game went, to try to lock it down defensively in the third period. But to get, Mike, they only got 18 shots on goal against the Canadiens in that
game. Who are averaging 31.5 against, who are super loose defensively, who have bad goaltending. That should have been a game you just fire the puck and you get 37 shots on goal. And you win that game 8-5 if you have to. I mean, they scored 5 goals. They only had 18 shots. That tells you what kind of defense and goaltending the Canadians had running out there Monday. And the Sabres didn't take advantage.
You give any team in this league 6 power plays, Mike, it's going to be tough to win. Especially that their goaltending hasn't been good enough on the penalty kill. Like, Luukkonen's save percentage on the PK is far worse right now than it was the second half of last season. A trend that they're going to have to work to address. You heard Lindy Ruff after the game talking about how some of his players got out-muscled, and he was given the option to make an excuse for Owen Power. He goes, no, Owen Power was not pushed down. He was out-muscled on that play.
Yeah.
Owen Power was a -4 in that game. Got to play like a number one pick, especially when you're making more than $8 million. So.
And the Sabres are paying Dahlin and Power over $19 million. They're both number one overall picks. They absolutely must play to that pick. And as I'm sorry, it's over. The draft is over. Now you're in the NHL. If you don't play to that pick, the entire franchise is at risk because you've finished last. You've gotten your lottery pick. You've gotten your guy. And if they don't become standout defensemen, what did you get?
Everybody thought the coach was going to solve this team's issues. And of course, Lindy Ruff has addressed so many of those first period starts. We can go on and on. But in the end, Mike, these top guys, especially the ones that got paid, got to start playing like top players. You know, this is the foundation of this franchise and hasn't looked too strong at the moment. So on to our next topic, you mentioned that St. Louis game, Mike. They're at the tail end of this stretch of eight home games, 8 out of 10 at home. They're 4-3. Not good enough. And no. This Blues team, they've been pretty bad. They've been blown out a couple of times. Say, you know, the Sabres have had some ugly losses. They've beaten themselves, you know, a handful of times already this season. They haven't gotten blown out like that so far. The Blues, it's happened a couple of times, if I'm not mistaken. So
2 8-1 defeats.
You've got to win this game. You have to beat these types of teams if you want to make the playoffs and still be in the conversation, you know, beyond Thanksgiving. You got to win games like this.
The Sabres are in the mushy middle of the NHL. I looked it up on Tuesday, and I think the number was, I think it's 15 teams that are between 13 and 16 points, which is really pretty incredible. Now, two of the teams right behind the Sabres are St. Louis and Philadelphia. So it's not like the Sabres have left them in the dust and should win this game. The Sabres should win this game, but St. Louis is right there. Philadelphia is right there. The Sabres have shown plenty of penchant already for blowing games, but you're right. St. Louis has already suffered a pair of 8-1 defeats this season. Even without Thompson, this is a team you think you should be able to score goals on. You have to get saves. You have to stay out of the penalty box, and you should be able to win this game, but who knows? We don't know about Thompson. And the other thing is you just don't know what version of the Sabres is going to show up.
Yeah, we don't know who the goalie is going to be. I mean, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen apparently has a minor injury that Lindy Ruff talked about. He repeated on WGR on Tuesday morning that it is a minor injury, but it's still an injury, Mike. And it's something that just given the workload, given this goalie's importance to this team, you wonder how they're going to handle it. Because Devin Levi, it hasn't been going very well so far. And with the team defense being, you know, it's not really team defense. It's puck management, the turnovers, like the Krebs turnover that gives them an odd man rush. I don't care what team you're playing. Like St. Louis, even though they're bad overall, they have a lot. They still have a good amount of skill that if you make plays like that, they're going to beat your goalie. They're going to get odd man rushes. They're going to get high danger chances. And with the way that the Sabres are playing at 5-on-5 right now, you can see why Lindy Ruff has just gotten so frustrated and lost his patience a few different times this year, because you see what this team is capable of. But right now at 5-on-5, even if they do have Thompson, Mike, they're not generating enough. They're not.
No.
You look at what they're doing in terms of time in the offensive zone, it's not enough. It's not enough. And
what did we see these two games? We saw the last two games, 37 shots on goal against combined in two games. Against Montreal, we saw 11 shots on goal at 5-on-5. Not nearly enough. You know, and it's a dessert bar here all the time. There's turnovers all over the place. And the thing that really aggravates me is they have to stop with the back passes entering the offensive zone. I can't, you know, the Krebs turnover is another example. And we've seen it multiple times this year. If you make a back pass in the offensive zone, you're just begging for that thing to get picked off and creating offense for your opponent the other way. Just keep attacking the net, get the puck in deep, cycle it around the wall. Enough with the back passes in the middle of the ice, just as you cross the blue line. And all of a sudden, there goes your opponent the other way. And it's happened too many times with this team, and it has to stop.
It's amazing because they see that playing a simple game works.
It works.
What Lindy Ruff is telling them to do works. Yet there are stretches, you know, Calgary had a good first period, and the Cousins line is a good example, right? They score a really quick one. You know, they're playing connected. They're doing everything that Lindy Ruff wants to see, and then they stop. They just stop doing it.
Period. It just stops.
And they start forcing those seam passes. They start overpassing. You know, Dylan Cousins isn't going to last very long on the top line. If if Thompson misses time, if he's passing up shots the way that he has, he is deferring at just a maddening level right now. And there's just too many guys on this team doing that.
Volume is a real thing with this team.
Phil Housley shot mentality over and over and over again.
Right. We need to see the Phil Housley shot mentality here, because right now it's not there. And I don't understand all this deference. I think some of it is you have a crisis of confidence in some guys. I don't know that Dylan Cousins thinks he can score. I don't know that Jack Quinn thinks he can score right now. So they're going to try to put the puck to somebody else who they think can. Well, especially if Thompson's down for a little bit, everybody needs to start shooting.
Yeah.
How many games are you going to win with 18, 19 shots on goal? There aren't many Calgary games out there you're going to win with 19 shots on goal. You've got to get that number into that 25 to 30 range every night. And until they do that, they're going to have a problem.
Even the Ryan McLeod line with Jason Zucker and Jordan Greenway, they need to shoot more. They're getting possession in the offensive zone. There's just nothing coming from it. So a trend that will need to be addressed, and I'm sure a practice on Wednesday, Lindy Ruff will find a very creative way to address it. He always seems to do that. So, Mike, under our last topic, they're on the road again after this game against St. Louis. So they're in Philadelphia this weekend. You'll be there for the game on Saturday against the Flyers, and then on to California, where they have the game against the Los Angeles Kings and then the back-to-back against Anaheim and San Jose. I'll be out there for the Buffalo News. So we'll have you covered every step of the way, Mike. But, this team, on the road, they've played pretty well at times. Philly is a team, though, that can give them trouble with the way that Torts had. You know what kind of game you're going to get, right? You're going to have to play simple. You're going to have to be patient. And those forcing those dangerous passes, it's going to bite you. And you could say the same for that, the Kings next week. You could say the same for even the Anaheim Ducks, the way that that group plays. So it's going to be a big test. But honestly, after 8 out of 10 at home and falling short of expectations, maybe getting away is not the worst thing right now for this
team. No, and I mean, there's going to be hockey to be played here, but I'm certainly going to find a good cheesesteak at Jim's in Philly, and I would highly recommend you get to In-N-Out in California. That's as important as hockey in some respects. But, all right, keep this in mind. The Sabres did lose to the Anaheim Ducks twice last year. Let's not forget that point. They lost the home opener this year to the LA Kings. They were losing 3-1 last year in LA when Devon Levi bailed them out. The San Jose Sharks have proven to be a dangerous team this year since their 0-7-2 start, with Macklin Celebrini now back. And a little side note, Lance, San Jose Sharks are going to be really fired up to see the Sabres on November 23rd, because before the game, they're retiring Joe Thornton's number. So that's going to be a big night in San Jose Sharks history, and I think those guys are going to be fired up to play. So another little problem the Sabres may have, but you're right. Philadelphia, it's like Montreal. The Sabres are terrible against the Flyers at home, and they tend to go to Wells Fargo Center and win. And the Flyers tend to be terrible against the Sabres at home. I don't understand that trend, but Montreal and Philadelphia are two teams we see that with. The Flyers right now, is John Tortorella going to play Matvei Michkov or not? He scratched him twice. Now he got back in the lineup, got him a shootout goal. Young player, star player. You never know what John Tortorella is going to do. You never know what the Flyers are going to get in goal. It's a weird team. The Sabres make Travis Konecny look like a Hart Trophy winner most of the time.
I would argue all four of these teams are kind of weird. I mean, the Kings have their issues. The Ducks have their issue. And that's, you talked about, just you look at the middle of these two conferences, especially the East, where it's just so crowded with mediocrity right now. And this is it. The Kings have done a lot better, of course. They're a better team than the Ducks and the Sharks, but they're certainly not a powerhouse by any stretch.
The Sabres could get 8 points out of these four games, and it wouldn't surprise me. The Sabres could get 2 points out of these four games, and it wouldn't surprise me.
And if they get two, you and I are going to be having a very different conversation in a couple of weeks.
But that's the nature of the Sabres. It's the nature of some of these opponents they're playing, but the Sabres are just completely unpredictable. You compare it to the Bills, and it's a different sport. I get it. You know what you're getting from the Bills almost every time they take the field. You and I are at almost every one of these Sabres games. We have no idea from day to day what we're going to see. None.
No.
You have no idea. And I don't know how you coach this team if you have no idea what these guys are going to give you from night to night. Some nights they look great. Some nights they look like they haven't practiced all week. It's a hard problem to solve.
And he's got a longer process to get rid of some of the bad habits in some of these players' games. Remember, this wasn't a good defensive team last year. They made strides at 5-on-5 defensively. Don't get me wrong, Mike, but with the way that their forwards were defending, their forwards in particular, there was no structure. Right? No. It was a lot of guessing. It was a lot of unpredictability, and that leads to bad habits, especially when you're doing it for multiple seasons, and these are younger players. So, you know, Lindy Ruff has cited some examples to where the effort is there. We're seeing guys backchecking, but sometimes they backcheck and they're not in the right spot. Over-pursue. Yeah.
The first Montreal goal. What happened in the first Montreal goal? Power and Bryson were both pinching, which shouldn't happen. That's another whole story. And McLeod and Zucker were back where they were supposed to be. But their gap was terrible. The middle was left wide open. The breakaway pass cut between the two forwards. Now, I give McLeod and Zucker credit. Last year, there wouldn't have been two forwards back there, and the guy just would have skated in all on his own with no one around. At least they were there. But, they have so many issues they have to go through. And the biggest thing I would say to people is the Sabres aren't alone. There's 20 teams in the league going through the same process right now, just trying to figure out who they are. And the Sabres are just in the middle of that group.
Two more games this week, Mike. Again, thank you, everybody, for listening. We can be found on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. See what happens over the next couple of days, Mike. And
don't look to us to predict anything.
We'll be back a week from now to try to make sense of it all for everybody. So thank you again for joining me. I'm Lance Lysowski. He's Mike Carrington. We will be covering the Sabres, of course, every home game, every practice, every road game. The only outlet that's on the road for every road game, of course. And we will see you again next week. Thanks again.